Anyway, so one of the biggest questions that bothers people, and sometimes, you know, amongst kids, sometimes it's better not to bring up questions. Amongst mature adults, the questions are there anyway, so let's deal with them. One of the questions that really bothers people is the length of the golus. Imagine that. We're going on 1950 whatever years. It's Lo'yumen Ki Yasu. And if it was the length of a golus, you know, that was peaceful, tranquil, always successful, always joyful, you know, mole simcha, and it'd still be a golus. You're exiled, you're not in your homeland, you're but the golus that we've been through, Lo'yumen Ki Yasu. There's never been such an exile of any nation in the world. And to this very day, to this very, very day, alive and well, all of the opposition and dangers and tragedies and tsaros of the Golos, whether it's the tsaros of, you know, attack on Eden and the Semitism, or whether it's the individual tsaros that people have. But the Golos is long and bitter, and the tsaros are don't go away. Ups and downs, a little easier, a little harder, a little bit. So, really, it's one of the questions that bothers people. Like, but to be a little irreverent about it, he sure seems to be taking his time. You know, like it's a long time. So, on the one hand, that, you know, upsets people and shakes people up, and they get very like, what's going on over here? You know, where are all of the promises of the Nevi'im? The Nevi'im are full. I asked someone here just, I didn't even see what he did here, but just to make a few, just to print a few pages of, yeah, Vahoyo, this is in Yeshaya. Vahoyo ba'achris hayomim nochon yia har beis Hashem beroish ha'orim v'niso mikvois v'noharu elov kol hagoyim. The beis Hashem and the whole world, everyone is going to come to it. It's going to happen. But it hasn't happened yet. I can't find it. But we know it's going to be. Hashem the Melech al Kol Haoretz Biyomu Hashem el Chodesh Moechot. Komar Hashem Tzvokas Adash Yevo Ami VeYoshvei Orim Rabbis VeHolchu Yoshvei Achas al Achas Leimor Nelcho Holoich Lachalois Espnei Hashem Levakish Hashem Tzvokas Elcho Gam Oni. It's a posuk in Zechariah. Uvo Amim Rabim VeGoyim Atzumim Levakish Hashem Tzvokas Yerushalayim Lachalos Espnei Hashem. And on, psukim, all promising about the Gula Shleimo and the Klal Yisrael getting its due recognition, the world coming to the Beis HaMikdosh, the rebuilt Beis HaMikdosh, ki beisi beis tfilo yikori l'cholo amin. And yet, here we are, close to 2,000 years, and we're still waiting. And it does shake some people up, no question about it. But it's interesting. Those that don't even know about it, don't even care about it, they didn't even hear about it. When they hear the word Messiah, they think about a different religion. You know, they really don't realize where it comes from, you know. And when they think about the coming, they think about some other comings. I don't know what they think exactly. But Lemaisa, unsere Yidden, that recognize and realize, Mitzarechot, we may, you know, get a little bit shaken up when we think, Vaita, and still not. On the other hand, every single one of us, under normal circumstances, every single Shabbos, Mimkoimcha Malkeinu Seifia, appear from your place on high, or your, which is Humakoim Shaloilam, Vesimlo Choleinu. Why? Ki Mechakim Anachnu Loch. We're still waiting. We're still waiting. And not only are we still waiting, we ask Hashem to appear and to Vesimlo Choleinu. That means V'hoyah Hashem LeMelech Al Kol HaOretz. That day, Bayoyim Ahuyah Hashem Echod Ushmo Echod. Why? In what merit? Ki Mechakim Anachnu Loch. We're still waiting. So when you think about it, we're still waiting. Like, so is this golus the greatest challenge to our bitochen? Or is this the length of the golus? Or is this golus the greatest expression of our bitochen? And when you think about it, it's like a tremendous expression. Ki mechakim anachnu loch. Es tzemach dovid abducho mehero tatzmiach v'karnoi tor mishu osecho. Why? We're still saying, "Ani ma'amin be'emuno shleimo be'bias hamoshiach u'bitchias hameisim." Nothing faces us. You know what we've been through? We've been through tkufas where Yidden sang "Ani ma'amin" as they walked to gas chambers, and we know such people. Everybody is connected to such people, and nothing faced them. And it's like, so mitzad echod, it's scary, it's long and bitter, it's worrisome, it could shake us up a little bit when we think about it. Mitzad sheni, it seems to have been a constant source of rejuvenation of our bitochem Hashem. We literally wait for the fulfillment of all of these psukim. We, every day, Oleinu l'shabeach l'adon ha'koil, Hashem yimloich l'olam voed, v'ne'amar v'hoya Hashem l'melech al kol ha'oretz, v'yom u'ya Hashem echod u'shmo echod. We take it seriously. Mishabura says you should put the talus over your head when you say Oleinu. It's one of the more serious parts, one of the most serious parts of the tefillah. So, al kein nekav l'cho Hashem elokeinu. We're waiting. We're hoping. Lirois mehero b'seferes uzecho lahavir gilulim in oretz v'olim koreisu. We're waiting. We're waiting. We're hoping. We haven't given up hope. And it seems that there's something about the golus, which, despite the disillusionment, which could affect us because of the length and the endless. I mean, when you know, some people think about it, the Rambam didn't see the Mashiach. The Vilna Goyim didn't see the Mashiach. The Chofetz Chaim didn't see the Mashiach. What's going to be? Of course, we know that that's what I think the Chofetz Chaim says, that it's compared to like a fly on the top of an elephant. So in other words, is the pshat, all of these deiris of schusim, of waiting, of bitochin, of never giving up hope, of schusim, of mesiras nefesh, of kiddush Hashem. So we may be zoiche, we should be zoiche, we hope we will be zoiche, not just in our own schus, but in the schus of everything that preceded us. But lemaisa, it's you know, shoyim, nu. It's that sheni, it seems that it's an ongoing opportunity to strengthen our bitachon. To the contrary. So one of the factors that contribute to that strengthening of bitachon, I'd like to just maybe point out a few of them. Number one, in general, interesting question. When things are going well, that's not really the time for bitachon. When things are going well, things are going well. I'm not really focused on Hashem, on trusting Him, on relying on Him, on counting on Him, because everything's in order. What am I worrying about? The a few of the mafreshim, but the Mari Kro writes in the when it says by Yaakov Avinu when he's facing Esav is coming with his army, it says Vayira Yaakov Vayetzer Loi. So he says, what's Vayira? So Rashi says, why he had a haftocha? He's to be protected from Esav. What was he afraid of? So Rashi says he was afraid Shema Goram Achet. Okay. So they asked the Kasha, why didn't he have bitochen even without that? So you don't have a haftocha. The haftocha was on a tnai. And Sheva Goram Achet, so the tnai was only if you're worthy. If you're not worthy, so the haftocha is bottled. So you have no promise. Have bitochen, stop. What are you afraid of Esav? Why don't you rely on Hashem? So the Mari Kro says, he gives a moshel. He says, what's a bal tzedaka? He says, a bal tzedaka is not a person that money doesn't mean anything to him. He says, a bal tzedaka loves his money, and he gives it away anyway. He says, what's a bal bitochen? A bal bitochen is not one that's impervious to danger. No, everything's fine. I got everything I need. There's no problem. There's no worry. There's no danger. There's no challenge. No. He's acutely aware of the situation, of the dangerous situation, of the delicate situation, of the precarious situation that he's in, and still he rises to be Tohom Hashem. So he says, Yaakov forced himself to be afraid of Esav. He looked at his chusim and he had kibud av, he had this, he had that. And therefore, then he can have true bitochen. Because from the mimamakim, from the depth, that's where true bitochen comes. Because if I have the money in the bank, I don't need bitochen for parnosa. The Sipurnu says that the whole inyan of the mon was that every day they should go to sleep b'chayser koil, the cupboards are bare. So each day they have to rejuvenate that bitochen in Hashem that I don't have. I'm going to sleep at night. What's going to be? I'm relying that it's going to be in the morning. And that was the process. He could have given them all the mon for the whole 40 years, preserved it, and this, whatever it was, some ruchnistika thing. But no, it has to be a daily thing just to keep them going. So on the one hand, the golus is a source of bitochen because of its difficulties, because of its tzoras. But I think it's really a lot more than that. One of the strangest aspects of our golus, which can counter any disillusionment that a person might feel about the matzav and the length and the tzoras, is that it was all foretold to us meirosh. The Torah tells us in Chumash itself, in Parshas Bechukosai and in Parshas Kisovoy, about the Churban Bayis Rishon, Churban Bayis Sheni, the golus that will take place, identifying details of the golus which no one at the time could have known. This is one of the things at these outreach seminars that we show people, that the Torah has information that was written at a time when no human being could possibly have known what's going to happen. And the formula for the suffering of Klal Yisrael, that b'chokosai telechu, v'oim shemo atishmu, everything will be great. And im lo yisishmu li, v'im lo yivim... And then what's going to happen? So it's all been predicted, Meirosh. That, now, of course, that doesn't make it easier. But it gives us that sense that we know what's coming. We have the script. We know, forgive me, we read the script, we know it's at the end of the movie. We know it. We know what's happening. It's there. It's been unfolding according to a script. And it's really Hayoim in Bekoilei Sishmo. It awaits us. So it's clear. Now, I'll never forget once speaking many years ago And I spoke about, at the time, I remember Parshas Hazinu. Parshas Hazinu, according to the Cheshbon of Vilna Gaon, refers to the last century. It says each 100 years of Sefer Dvorim refers to each parsha refers to 100 years. And according to the Cheshbon, that we're talking about the last century, and Hazinu is uncannily reminiscent of so many of the events that happened during the Holocaust. And it says, Al Asher Einu Lekah B'Kirbi, in the Holocaust, they said, the first time in history, where was God, you know? And the Einsatzgruppen, it has a remez there, and the lying and the vermin, and the many different things that are reminiscent of the Holocaust.
What's that?
I want to mention that. So anyway, so I mentioned that even the gas chambers were merumas in Parshas Hazinu, because when it says Ketev Meriri, so on the Posuk in Tehillim, Miketev Yoshut Zohoroyim, the Malbim says that it refers to Avir, Arsi, maybe it's poisonous gas that kills. So the poisonous gas, and the Malbim didn't know about any historic thing, because poisonous gas the first time was used by the Germans in World War I, and the Malbim died before the turn of the century, in like the late 1800s. So like, you know, things like this. So it's like, anyway, there was a Holocaust survivor sitting right over there, and I was speaking, and then I mentioned this about the gas chambers, and I heard him in anger screams out, "Dem toiva binichem moichel," you know, this toiva that he predicted the gas chambers, "I'm moichel that toiva, grace of toivas what you did for me," you know. So mitzad echod, it's certainly a painful thing, but mitzad sheni, it gives us a chizuk in terms of, it's not hefker, there's a script, and what's most unique about the script is we're the heroes of the script. And the only thing in the script that's negotiable is whether b'chukoy say telechu or lo yisishmuni. And it's up to us. If we behave properly, matzav is good. When we, and throughout our history, if you trace throughout history, you find the tkufas where the worst challenges took place, the churban bayis rishon, Gil Arayish, Vichastoma, Vidazora, the Bittel Torah, the Gemara says, Shalai Beruch HaBaterah Tchila, they weren't Machshiv the Torah, Bayesheni, Loshen Hora, and Sinas Chinom, and Loshen Hora, and throughout. If you look at Tkufas in Europe, you have Tkufas in history, when we did well, we did well. And when we started to, the assimilation in Germany before the Holocaust was, who knows, they say 90%. And I have a manuscript that someone wrote for me, I never published it, where he took all of the laws that were made against the Jews and showed how they reflected every violation that we were doing. They made the Jews changed their names, they didn't use their Hebrew names, they made every man be called, I think Abraham, and every woman had to be called Sarah. They had the things that were, Mamish was uncanny, I don't remember the details, this was many, 30, 40 years ago it was written. But so, like, and this is it, we see. We were told, it was predicted, we were told Meirosh. Now, the good news is that many people have seen that something is changing. Now, there's no question about it. The Geula is not here yet. And the fact that that there's a Jewish state in Eretz Yisrael, and the fact that that there is, you know, Jews are finally allowed, where in the 40s they were being turned away to their death, and now, you know, it's open for immigration, it's a tremendous thing, but that's still certainly not the Geula. And if you look at any given day what goes on in Eretz Yisrael, we see that the Geula is not here yet. The terrorism, the sakona in which they live, and even the religious turmoil that's going on there is certainly indicative that it's not umola ha'oretz deas Hashem kemaim layam achasim. That hasn't happened yet. V'hoyo Hashem lemelech al kol ha'oretz v'yomu yashem echod ushmu echod. That hasn't happened yet. Kibesi beis tefilo yikore l'chol ha'amim. No, not l'chol ha'amim. We can't even access it. And even when we go, wherever we go b'sakona. So certainly not there. However, the Gemara does say that the Geula will come in stages. And the Gemara compares the stages to the Brochus in the Shmon Esrei, the Birchas Hashonim, the Kibbutz Golius, and Hoshiva Shuftenu. Birchas Hashonim. 150 years ago, they tell me, I wasn't around then exactly, but they tell me that you couldn't find a rotten onion in the Shuk in Yerushalayim. Nothing there. It was desolate. They were dying of starvation, literally. They had to, they were constantly going to Chutz Laaretz and sending money to the different koilalim there, to keep people alive. Today, you gotta watch out for Trumas and Maestras when you go buy stuff in the supermarket because there's so much produce from Eretz Yisrael. The next stage, after Birchas Hashonim, is Kibbutz Golius. That has certainly been on the way for the last close to 100 years. Jews are coming back to Eretz Yisrael in significant numbers. Significant numbers, that's true. So that's the second stage. The third stage, which certainly hasn't begun yet, is Hoshiva Shefteinu Kevorishoinu V'yatzeinu Kevatchila. That the Sanhedrin, the system of Mishpat, which without Mishpat we can't live, can't have a society, that there is a Mishpat Alpi Mishpatei HaTorah. We're still awaiting that. But the very fact that we see this movement is a source of chizuk. Because we see that, it's which stage exactly where we're holding. It's still not Kibbutz Golius, but it's partial Kibbutz Golius. It's beginning. There's probably more to go in the Birchas Hashonim too. But Birchas Hashonim. Why do they call it the Green Line? Because in 1967, when they took over the other part till the Jordan River, they found that to the old border of what was Israel was all green, and over here was all brown. The Arabs couldn't make it there because Chazal promised that Eretz Yisrael will only flourish when it's occupied by the Jewish people. And they couldn't make things happen there. They couldn't. They were worse at farming necessarily, but Mark Twain in the 1800s visited Israel and he said, "It's a land that's cursed by the gods." He says it's so desolate, And then Jews come back, and now it's blooming. It's what it produces, The least of which is the ways which we've all now become totally dependent upon. I don't know how we function without it. Anyway, so it gives us a certain chizuk when we see this happening, but really, we await something else. And when we await something that can be therapeutic, it makes the whole process of waiting much easier. The Radak says on the Posuk, "Berega kot nazavtich uvarachamim gedoy lemakapzech." I have forsaken you for a moment, rega koten, and with great rachamim I gather you in. So the Radak is bothered that I think the pasuk is the Haftarah in Parshas Noach, if I'm not mistaken. So the Radak is bothered. Rega koten. The Gula says long and bitter. So he says, when we will see the Rachmi Dishmaya of the Kibbutz Golius, Rega koten asavtich uvarachm gedoylim akabtzech. When we will witness the Rachmi Dishmaya of the Kibbutz Golius from all over the world back to Eretz Yisrael, then in retrospect, all the suffering of the 2,000 years of Golus will seem like a mere moment, a rega koten. And I believe that's the pshat that we say in the davening, Hoshiva Shoifteinu Kibori Shoinu, V'yatzeinu Kibatchilo, to restore the Sanhedrin and the leadership, V'choser Mimenu Yogoin V'anocha. Then the Yogoin V'anocha, the suffering and the pain of the Golus will be removed not just from the present generation, but retroactively, all the Yogam Va'anocha of the 2,000 years of exile will also be removed retroactively when we see the Rachmi Dishmaya. Rachmi Dishmaya has such a koyach that it can it can soothe us. It can warm our hearts. It can transform us into such a different matzav ruach, such a different state of fulfillment and happiness and tranquility, that it can eradicate or almost eradicate all the memories, all the bitter memories, all the painful memories of the past. And it'll appear, oh, yeah, there was a moment or two, the golos, 2,000 years. Nah, it was more like 2 minutes. Imagine that. That's what we look forward to. And I think that the suffering of the golos, coupled with the fact that we have the script and we know exactly how it's going to happen, we know even who the contestants, who are the only contestants for Eretz Yisrael? Only Bali Bris. They don't do the Bris Kahalocha, but it's only the Arabs. It's only people. The Christians never had a chance. They tried the Crusades and this. They never established a real stronghold there. Because Chazal tell us that Oilonu to the day that Yishmoel had a bris, because on that day he became a legitimate contester for Eretz Yisrael. Now, we have the advantage because we do it kahalocha, but they have something, epis, and they're the only ones that even stand a chance. And when we realize that all of our history was written up front, even the Milchemes Amalek, the Milchoma that started with Esav and that continued throughout the Deiris to the last generation as well, and who knows where their descendants are still in existence. I don't know if we've eradicated them completely. So Mitzad Echod, it's painful. Mitzad Echod, it's scary. Mitzad Sheni, it's all there. There's a script. It's all according to the script. And we have the ability to make the choices that can make the difference. I just wanted to conclude. The Chofetz Chaim writes, in terms of the second Churban Beis HaMikdash, that since the cause of the Churban was Sinas Chinam and Loshon Hara, thank you, he says that in order to end the Golos, we have to rectify its cause. Since that was the cause, that's what we have to rectify. Truth of the matter is that there's more to rectify, because the Chazal say, and everybody writes, that the Iker Churban was the first Churban, because the second Beis HaMikdash never was reestablished with the level, with the Asharas HaShechina, with the Oro and the Kapiris, the Kruvim, and of the first Beis HaMikdash. It paled in the Hashoras Hashchina and the glory of the first Beis HaMikdash. So the real Golos, the first Golos, led to the second Golos. And what's the first Golos? So the first Golos is a very interesting Golos. Pashtus, Chazal tell us that they were over the Gimel Averos Chamuras. But Chazal tell us also that HaKadosh Baruch Hu could have been Mevater on the Gimel Averos Chamuras, but not on the Ovam Bittul Torah. And what was the Ovam Bittul Torah? So here, very interesting. The Pasuk in Yirmiyah says, Mi ho ish ha-chochom v'yovin ha-zois? Who's the chochom? It's asking if the chochomim get it or not. V'asher diber pi Hashem elov. It refers to the Nevi'im, the Gemara says. V'yagida should say, Al me'ov the ha-oretz. Why was Eretz Yisrael destroyed? Nitzesoch amin mo mebli oiver. Nobody knew the answer. Nobody could figure out why this churban took place. There was averus chamuras, okay, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we thought, would be mevater. Until the chachomim, that's how the Gemara says, sholu lachachomim, this is mihi shachochem. Sholu neviim, this is avasher diber pi Hashem elov, that's the novi. Ad sheomer HaKadosh Baruch Hu, vayomer Hashem, al osvam es teirosi asher osati lefneim. They have forsaken my Torah. They didn't listen to my words, to my voice. They didn't follow in the ways of the Torah. Sok the Gemara. What does it mean? Al ozvam es torosi, shlo berchu b'Torah tchila. They didn't say berchas haTorah. That's what happened. Ozvam es torosi. They didn't say berchas haTorah. And the Ram explains, brings, I think, from the Rabbeinu Yonah, and says, it's obvious, because if the Chachomim didn't know, and the Nevi'im didn't know, It must be that they were learning. Because otherwise, why didn't they know? They knew Torah, Bittul Torah was the worst thing in the world. So why couldn't they tell? The Torah says, he says, they were learning. Not only they were learning, listen to his Loshon. He says, Mashma Shvosos HaTorah V'lo Hoyu Oizkin Bo. If that would have been, Kishanisha Lachom L'Anviyim, Loma Loi Pirshu, V'haloi Dover Goloi Hoyu, V'kal L'Farish. They're not learning. Everybody knows. You look in the Beis Medrash, you see the Beis Medrash is empty day and night. You look in the houses, nobody's learning. Oh, finished. Elo vaday oiskim hoyu batoiro tomid. 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 Hasmoda. It's the same shirish, right? Tomid. All the time. They're always learning. Ulefikoch hoyu chachomim unavim temehim al me'ov de horetz. They couldn't understand what happened. Ad ship. Pirshu HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Pirshu HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ba'atzmoy, Shehu Yodea Me'im Kei HaLev, he knows what's going on in the depths of their hearts. Shalohoyu Mevorchim HaTorah Tchila. They didn't say Berchas HaTorah. Kloimar, Shalohoyuso HaTorah Chashuvo Be'eneihem, Kol Kach, Sheyehe Roi Levorich Oleho, Shalohoyu Ma'oizkim HaTorah Lishmo, Mitoich Kach, they were Mezalzolin in the Brocha. So it's not clear whether he means that they really didn't say the, they said the brocha, they just didn't appreciate it, or they didn't say the brocha because they didn't appreciate it. But either way, what was the chesaron? It was a lack of chashivas HaTorah. And the Novi tells us, the HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells us, excuse me, the Novi couldn't figure it out, and the Chachomim couldn't figure it out, that yes, this is why al me'ov de ha'oretz, why did the churban finally happen? Despite the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu would have been mevater on all the Averos Chamurois, not because they weren't learning, but because they weren't machshiv the Torah enough. That lack of chashivas HaTorah is the greatest tragedy, is the greatest cause, or the makif patish of the churban itself. Because if the Torah is not choshuv, then like, what do I have? This is it. This is everything. I want to add, just in the context of what we attempt to do over here, the Goyin says that the Iker of the Nesinas HaTorah to Klal Yisrael was Kadesh Yisimu B'tchoinam Hashem, in order that they should be able to put their trust in Hashem. So in a sense, the Torah itself is what brings us to putting trust in Hashem. I study Hashem, so this is Choshev. This, what is this? This is the directives in life. This is what the Baruch Hu wants. This is all about him. This is his values. This is his morals, his ethics, his directives, how I have to live my life. That leads me to that ultimate trusting connection. I'm trusting him with my life. I'm trusting him with every sense of direction and every decision and every commitment and every expenditure and every moment. And that is the greatest lead and expression of a person's bitochem Hashem. So that chashivus HaTorah really translates itself into a lack of bitochem Hashem. Because if I really appreciated the Torah, I would like Hashem. That's it. I trust him for everything. And I think that, we say it in davening every day in Avor Abba. V'hoi reineinu b'serosecho, enlighten our eyes in the Torah. Our hearts should cling to the mitzvahs. And unify the Yetzer Tov and the Yetzer Hora le'avu le'yirei Hashemecha. So it speaks about maybe the highest level of Avedas Hashem with the connection to the Torah, Einenu b'seirosecho, and therefore the mitzvahs, and therefore the Avedas Hashem. And what do we say after that? V'loi nevoish lo'ilam void. What does that mean? Says the Avodrom, that refers to the Posuk Elokai Becho Botachti Alei Boisho. It refers to Bitochem Hashem. When a person brings himself to such an appreciation of Torah, that's the ultimate expression of Bitochem Hashem. And the good news is the next sentence. Because we have trusted in you, we will in fact rejoice in the Yeshua. Can you hear us? We should be able to rejoice in the Yeshua. Amen.